Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In the fourth inning of a May 29th game between the Chicago Cubs and the Astros at Minute Maid Park, Albert Almora Jr. lined a foul ball into the seats past the Cubs' dugout along the third base line. The Cubs were in Houston playing the Astros, and the ball hit a girl there. She suffered a skull fracture, and now we understand brain injuries. Now, usually I ask about the liability of a case like this. Should the family sue or be able to sue? That issue, I believe, is soon to become moot because the teams are going to put up protective netting around the fields. But if they do sue for medical or pain or suffering or lost future income or just to motivate teams to do the right thing, I think I'm with them on this one, regardless of what the ticket says. Rich Lenkov is a Capital member at Bryce Downey & Lenkov. He's the host of the Legal Face-Off podcast that you regularly hear at WGNradio.com, and he's in the studio. Hi, Rich. Welcome back.
Not award-winning. Not yet. Try to get there.
You'll have to get around us, fella. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
What do you make of my send-up of that thing?
Well, baseball, Major League Baseball, and the Cubs enjoy immunity
and the Astros
from such lawsuits and the Astros, and not just because of recent developments. This goes back over 100 years. This has been carved out specifically for baseball teams. No one else enjoys this kind of protection, so much so that it's called the baseball rule. And that basically means that you assume the risk as a spectator when you go to a baseball stadium of balls being thrown into the stands or ending up in the stands, and therefore you cannot successfully sue a baseball club for those injuries. Not only do you accept that risk, John, but the courts have held that you welcome that risk, right? By bringing your glove in, by trying to catch balls, fans not only know about it, but are welcoming that risk, and therefore they're immune from lawsuits.
What about if I'm on a Ferris wheel or a roller coaster at an amusement park and something goes wrong? I bought a ticket. There's language on that.
Yeah, different. Under those circumstances, as well as almost any other circumstance dealing with what we call premises liability, basically where you're injured because of the negligence of the owner of a property, in your example, the roller coaster, in those situations, the owner of the roller coaster will still allege that you have some contributory fault, but that's not absolute. You will be able to show that they were negligent in that they failed to properly train the owner of the roller or the operator of the roller coaster, for example, or that there was some defect. None of those arguments hold water when it comes to the baseball rule.
Okay, so even though they have disclaimer language when you buy a ticket at an amusement park, or if you rent a wave runner, or if you go out on the fancy boat that bounces around on the lake, and you sign a thing, and it goes, if you get injured, it's not on us, Bucky. It may be, in fact.
Exactly. I represent lots of those kind of companies, and I defend them. And even though if you go out on a wave runner, or I've represented a lot of amusement parks, bouncy house companies, I had a case recently where a woman got injured in a inflatable house, and she signed a waiver. The court, as they often will do, consider that contract what's called a contract of adhesion. What does that mean? It means that there's unequal bargaining power between the consumer and the owner. And to your point, because no one reads that anyway, the courts say, even though you sign that, we're not going to hold you to that standard. We're going to force the owner of the company to prove that you were aware of the risk. That doesn't apply to baseball.
Well, I might be aware of the risk, but I'm still not sure that that should exonerates maybe the wrong word, but let them off the hook. On the back of the baseball ticket, or at least the contract that comes with it when you download it, says holder recognizes that attendance of holder and minors at the event is voluntary and may result in personal injury, including death, and or property damage and agrees to stay alert and remain aware of his or her surroundings and the surroundings of minors. By using this ticket or by attending, observing, or participating in the event, the holder acknowledges and assumes all risks and dangers associated with holder and or minors being a spectator before, during, and after a baseball game or other event, including warm-ups, practices, pre-event, post-event, between-innings activities, promotions, competitions. It goes on and on and on. It's pretty clear. Even I can understand some of that, that I'm saying it's on me, it's not on you. But it almost makes it sound like, because if you pay attention, a 9-year-old girl will be able to catch or dodge a 110-mile-an-hour foul ball. I think I made this point yesterday. I don't know if you agree. You're a Cubs fan. You go to the games all the time. If you told everybody, okay, Section 222, here comes a 100-mile-an-hour foul ball, ready? People would still get injured.
No question.
Sometimes they're not paying attention. Even if they are, I don't think that enables them to avoid it.
You're 100% right. And if you, there's a great piece on HBO Real Sports from a couple of years ago where Brian Gumbel did a study. They actually had people behind glass to avoid them getting hit, but they did a study of balls being, you know, coming out in the stands as if they were hit by a bat. And they showed people who were on their phones, people who were eating, and people who were actually looking right at the ball. The latter group, the people who were looking at the right at the ball, got hit the same degree. Because to your point, the attention, I mean, you can't catch that ball. It comes out so fast. So yes, you're right. There is that risk. But again, courts have consistently and recently upheld this idea that baseball is a carved out exception to the idea that you can sue owners of property for these, you know, negligent acts.
Baseball's come faster these days, too, I think.
Absolutely.
I mean, I wonder, I know there's such a thing as precedent, but maybe the circumstances have changed. And again, if the netting goes up, this is all moot, but it's not up now. It's, you know, I put it this way. I don't blame the family for being angry. And it's not like Almora's a bad guy or even the Astros are a bad organization, but I don't blame them for going, we've been injured at no fault of our own, and we should have recourse in civil court.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that the idea of going after a baseball club or Major League Baseball shouldn't be any different when you look at it practically than going after anyone else who causes an injury. For a lot of reasons, though, the courts have carved out this exception, and it goes further. There are some states, like Illinois, that have actually enacted legislation beyond the courts to codify the baseball rule, to give baseball clubs even greater protection. So, you know, unless the courts change the way they've done things, and you mentioned precedent, the precedent is clearly set that you cannot successfully win damages against these owners.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to change.
Well, football teams, hockey teams, basketball teams all play fewer games and have less opportunity for injury. Maybe if I were being considerate about this, I'd say you'd bankrupt a baseball team that plays 162 games. I mean, think that 162 games is probably 163 instances of baseball screaming into the stands and maybe injuring somebody. So we've got to grant them some special protection organizationally. They couldn't withstand the onslaught if they were sued every time a ball went into the stands. I understand that. But, wow, that little girl didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question these injuries are very difficult. I think most studies have shown that there are about 1,700 people, roughly, per year that get injured in some way.
Really?
That's a lot. There's been about 2,000 deaths overall in the course of baseball. That's, what, over 100 years. Not an insignificant number, but the defenders of baseball will tell you that's a very, you know, very small sum and not a significant enough number to warrant changing the baseball rule.
Some texts and some phone calls. You ready, Rich Lenkoff?
Absolutely.
630, let's be honest, most of these people getting hit are on their phone. A, I don't agree with that. B, I still don't think that changes my argument. What do you say about that?
Yeah, again, I mean, if you looked at this study and most studies, they show that being on your phone, of course, is more distracting. But even if you were standing there looking directly at the game, the time that you have to avoid that is minimal. So you can't avoid it anyway.
630 says, my heart goes out to that little girl, but Almora was not aiming for her. He was heartbroken. The parents and everyone should pay attention at the game. is that relevant here? Is it is what baseball is saying is it's the parents' responsibility?
Well, that's the idea of contributory fault. I mean, that is a concept that would apply anywhere else but the baseball rule. You know, if this happened at a hotel pool and a child got injured because the parents weren't paying attention, of course they would bear some of the legal responsibility for that. Again, in baseball, because I'll just repeat what I've said, the courts have carved out an exception for baseball clubs. They enjoy almost absolute immunity to those kind of arguments.
Let's talk to Michael. You're on WGN Radio. What do you want to say? You're on the air, Mike.
Good afternoon, John.
Hey.
You know, it's a shame it happened, but I put the full blame on the parents. They shouldn't be taking a two-year-old kid to a ball game anyway because they really don't fully understand what's going on or can pay attention enough, let alone the parents paying attention to allow this to happen.
I was sitting at the Cubs game the other day.
Attention.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I was sitting next to some parents the other day at the Cubs game, and they had an infant. The kid wasn't 2 years old, or the kid probably wasn't 1 year old, and they didn't pay any attention to the baseball game. It was all about having the baby at the game, and they were taking pictures of the baby at the game, and they were all adorable. And they watched a little of the game, but they were more vulnerable in that situation.
Listen, if today you go to a game and the nets, you know, you're in the area of the stands where the nets aren't covered, and right now that only goes into the dugout, then you are assuming the risk just legally and according to the document that you inherently signed, whether you like it or not, whether you read it or not, you are assuming the risk of balls coming into the stands, period. And I say period because, again, it's been very decisive. The courts have uniformly upheld this over and over again. There's been a couple of lawsuits that have actually gone farther than the trial court. So the appellate courts have considered this, and the mentality might be shifting, right? But as of today, uniformly, the baseball rule still exists.
Rich Lankoff's here. He's an attorney, can you tell? He's also a podcaster at WGNradio.com. Listen for Legal Face-Off. Let's take a break. You can call or text. We'll read more of your text. You can call right now, 312-981-7200. This family, and I hope we all are clear about this, these people didn't do anything wrong, and I'm not saying anything wrong about them acquiring the services of an attorney. I'd have one, too. But I'm wondering, then, what's the point of having an attorney, Rich, if you're saying it's that ironclad? We'll pick up the conversation here in a minute. Rich Lankoff is in our studio. You listen to Legal Face-Off. It's a lot of topics, a lot of information. It's very good. This podcast is with Tina Martini. When do you guys post the podcast? When does it go up usually?
Every 2 weeks. We post our latest one on, Monday of this week. We had Kim Goldman on, among others. She is Ron Goldman's sister, podcasting as well about OJ. So very interesting discussion there.
BDL Law Firm. BDL Firm. BDLfirm.com is your website. So what do you make, then, of this family? Like, what's the purpose of having an attorney if you have no recourse against the organization? We're talking about the ball Albert Almora hit that went into the stands and injured that girl in Houston. They have an attorney. He's put out a statement this week saying that she had skull fractures and brain injuries. What's an attorney going to do for him?
Yeah, good question. I mean, the attorney knows, obviously, what I know, which is what we all know, that this baseball rule will prevent the lawsuit from going very far. I imagine the attorney will try to settle their claim and try to get something out of the Cubs, maybe, as you mentioned earlier.
Or the Astros.
The medical bills.
The Astros.
Yeah, the medical bills. Certainly the Cubs are aware of the brand reputation that this affects, so might want to get rid of it. But ultimately, sure, if I was the Cubs counsel, I would say we sympathize, or the Astros counsel, I would say we sympathize, but our liability isn't there.
That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because you normally represent the companies in these cases.
Sure.
And so would you offer them a settlement because dismissing them or fighting it in court just looks bad for the brand?
Just depends. I mean, my clients will frequently take a hard line on paying anything when they feel there's no liability because even though having your name in the press in a lawsuit is damaging, what could be equally or more damaging is having your name associated with frivolous lawsuits or one where you don't have liability. So, you know, that really depends. A lot of clients will say, we don't want to go through the time and expense and notoriety of litigation. On the other hand, they don't want to pay anything if they don't have liability.
Hey, Doug, you're on WGN.
Yes, John. I was just kind of wondering, when the teams go over to the London area to play in Britain, how is this baseball rule going to affect them over there?
Yeah, good question. Ultimately, the clubs would still be sued on U.S. turf and face the same limitations on liability. If someone gets hurt, I would still try to sue the stadium, for example. They're not subject to U.S. law. So, as you know, there are multiple defendants usually. You know, usually plaintiffs are suing everybody to try to, you know, get as many people to contribute as possible. Huh. So if I got hurt in London, I would certainly sue the owner of the stadium because they don't enjoy the same protections that this baseball rule affords American companies.
Good
so
call.
Really, really great question.
Good question. Thank you. John, I almost got hit by a ball at the Cubs-Brewers game, and I was paying attention. The ball travels so fast. 847 says, is risk and stadium liability for NHL the same as MLB?
Different. Baseball rule, and I'm using
it's only
term,
baseball.
Only applies to baseball. Now, there have been similar limitations applied to other venues. It's not like you can successfully sue other sports. They also have some of the same limitations, but the baseball rule is this hard and fast rule. There was an incident a couple of years ago in Nashville where a girl got killed and they put up netting. So that has had some effect.
Once the net goes up, hopefully this whole conversation goes away.
Yes.
You're probably, I mean, wouldn't you advise your teams to put up the damn net?
Oh, of course. I mean, baseball, I think going pole to pole is the way to go. I think the minimal effect it has on the fan experience is outweighed by the safety benefits.
Nice to see you, Rich. We'll listen for your next podcast or the one that you guys just put up at WGNRadio.com with Tina Martini. It's called Legal Face-Off. His law firm, Bryce Downey & Lenkoff, is at BDLfirm.com. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much.